Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. It's so good to be here. Amen. Wow. We are moving right along. We are in episode 80. Man, that is an unbelievable. And if you've been following the program from the beginning, you know, we had a year's worth of episodes in season one. So it's just incredible what God has done. I was thinking about that yesterday, just marveling at what God does through this program. And he's helping us together learn the word, because guess what? When I am studying to teach this to you, I'm also learning. One of the best ways to learn is to teach. I don't know if you ever heard that, but that's a free one here this morning or this evening, whenever you're listening to it. I don't know. I shouldn't have said that, because I never know. With a podcast, typically you don't know. With the radio, we were often on in the morning time, sometimes the early morning. That's for another day for the radio. But for the podcast, I guess you can listen at your convenience. And if you haven't already, check out our KJV Cafe Weekend Edition that airs Friday and Saturday. It's a podcast. You can find it on your favorite podcast app along with KJV Cafe. All right, here we go. So we are getting into Genesis 4:11. And what I'm going to do is I want to read some of Genesis 4 here. Yeah, so just like I'm having competing thoughts. I want to read Genesis 4, but also mention, it's very interesting how these chapters are shaped, because you have Genesis 3, right? And you have really just from the beginning of Genesis 3 to the end, it's the fall of man, it's the introduction of sin, it's all of these things thematically. And Genesis 4 is really Cain and the rebellion of Cain and the fall of Cain and the fall and the wickedness of the line of Cain thematically. And then it, you know, goes into Seth in chapter 5. So, and then after that, you get to Noah. So it's just like very, very simple. If you were to, you know, write out each chapter and write one sentence theme, at least for Genesis, you can do that. Now, I know some books, you know, the themes seem reoccurring chapter by chapter. You know, I know some books, they seem very diverse. And so here we just have something very linear, very easy to understand. God's creation of man, the fall of man, and then we see here Cain and what happened here with the fall of Cain. Chapter 4, let's see here. What we'll do, you know what? We'll take a break, and then I'll read chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and then we'll get to our focus here for today. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Okay, getting right to it here. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And again, we see it's the process of time. We don't know how long. I would guess this is enough time for there to be accountability. I believe that Cain and Abel were of the age of accountability. Okay. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance, or his facial expression, fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now here we are going to verse 11. These are our three focus verses for today. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee or strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's Genesis 11 through 13, the latter part, or the whole thing I just read was Genesis 4, 1 through 13. So we see here some interesting things happening. God's punishment is laid out. If there were a theme for this episode, it'd be Cain's punishment, God's punishment on Cain. Verse 11, let's look at verse 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. We see in verse 11, God's poetic curse on the earth, the same earth where the blood of Abel fell. You know, we see this over and over again. We saw it with Adam, did we not? The same curse that Adam received after falling into sin, we see Cain receiving, literally one chapter later. This is significant of the sin cycle repeating itself. Did Cain want the earth cursed from his work? Did Cain want the profit taken away? Of course not. See, we want the pleasure of sin. Cain wanted the pleasure of showing Abel that he was the boss, that he was going to take him out. Cain wanted the pleasure of being the one that everyone focused on. Cain wanted certain things, but he didn't want the repercussions of those sin, of that sin that came forth so quickly after he sinned. We understand the wages of sin is death, and in this regard, it's the death of the profitability of the land, the fruit of the land. Let's look at verse 12 here. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Just in case we didn't understand what it meant that cursed from the earth, what that meant, we now see it means when you tillest the ground. Remember, he was a farmer. This is his occupation. It shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. And I did a little research on what that word strength means. And it is the Hebrew root word kohah or kohach, the little H on the end there. And it means strength, might, power to produce wealth. So we see that that strength is taken away. We see God saying here, this is his punishment. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. So he's a farmer. He knows what it's like to get a crop and to have a crop grow. You know, for a crop to be yielded. And now Cain is devastated because, look, he's not going to have that crop. Job 31:39, that word kohah is referred to fruit of the ground. So it's the same. That's the only times that word, as it's written in Hebrew, is used in the Bible, as I understand, as my research shows. It is the fruit of the ground. The fruit of the ground is not going to be coming out like it would. Now, obviously, their subsistence, they had to survive on something, okay? So there was some way to survive, whether it was from a tree or plants or whatever. But it wasn't going to be pleasurable. It wasn't going to be bountiful. And it was cursed. And then God goes later on in verse 12, after a semicolon, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. That is not fun, is it? A fugitive and a vagabond. You know, those are two terms referring to being cast away from society, from the ones you love, being on the run, right? And think of this relationship between God and Cain. God made Adam and Eve his parents. God would be his grandfather, right? This has got to be heartbreaking. Not only have you let your parents down, not only have you killed your brother, but now the one that is the personification of love, the one that is all good things, has told you, you're going to be on the run. You're going to be a vagabond. You're not going to be around me, right? Then we see here, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Wow. So we see here Cain's realization that, you know what? The punishment that God has doled out, he has said, you're the ground is cursed, you're not going to profit, and you're not going to be around me or the ones you love. You're going to be a fugitive. You're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be out in no man's land in sin. You know, sin gets us into deeper waters than we can swim. Let me say that one more time. When we sin, we get into deeper waters than we know how to navigate or swim. Cain didn't think about the repercussions, even though in verse, I think it's 6 and 7, yeah, of Genesis 4, God reminds him, says, look, this is the deal. You know what? Don't be sad. You know, if you bring unto me what's acceptable, will it not be accepted? It will. But if you don't, watch out. You're going to be all yoked up with sin. That's going to be your whole life. And Cain didn't heed that warning. In the very next verse, in fact, Cain kills his brother Abel because he's jealous of the offering. Pride sets in. He's wicked, beyond wicked. And now he says, oh, Lord, I can't bear it. Isn't that the SOS mentality, right? Oh, Lord, save me. The plane is crashing. You know, I've heard it said, I saw this great line in a Bible study recently. It said, people don't like to listen to the sermon. They wait for the siren. And I thought that was excellent. Why do we wait for the siren? Like, why do you wait for all heck to break loose? Why do you wait for your life to be, taken from you potentially before you call out to God and say, oh, Lord, I can't handle this. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, deliver me. No. God's program is totally different. He is calling us to be submissive and obedient to him in the good times, in the bad times, in all the times. You know, we are to live for him daily. We are not to seek the things of this world and then all of a sudden say, oh, we can't bear this punishment. You know, look, it's a good reference to say that the ship is sinking and you need a life raft, and that life raft is Jesus. I've heard that said. And once you understand that and you call out to him, he'll save you. Okay. That is a good reference, but don't wait until the ship is literally sinking, right? You know, you think of these perilous times that someone, they kind of get the impression that death is near and then they die, right? At what point did they pray, or could they pray, or maybe they didn't have the occasion to pray? You know, we think we control, Cain thought he controlled his life. And what he realized here in verse 13 is God is sovereign. God controls everything. And while we may control the decisions we make, God controls the consequences. And those consequences, as Cain said, are more than man can bear. So we must be careful. And all this time, you may be wondering, what was it that Cain did? Why did he deserve this punishment? Cain lacked faith in God, and he lacked brotherly love. 1 John 3:11 through 14. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Who's that wicked one? The devil. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. So here in 1 John 3, verse 12, it tells us he slew Abel because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so we see a very true point in 1 John that literally, if you don't love your brother, if you don't love your neighbor, then you are not passed from death to life. You are still living as a carnal Christian, as a spiritually dead person, as someone that has not been regenerated with the Holy Spirit. We are to literally love our brother, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, the first son, if you will, by earthly creatures, kills his brother. And that is underscore of sin. That is a poster child for sin. That is what sin is. It's killing your brother. And 1 John says poetically, you are to love your brother. And this is how the world knows that we are Christians, when we love one another, because that's not of the world. When we are selfless instead of selfish, when we say, Lord, thy will, not my will, when we become obedient to God, then all of a sudden we can be used by God. But all too often, man is living in this perverse, wicked state, hating others, jealous of others, willing to kill others. And then they say to God, I can't bear this. I can't bear the punishment. Well, how about this? We should really understand that true punishment is being away from God. The biggest part of that punishment wasn't that Cain wouldn't be profitable with the land. It wasn't that he'd have to go to some far off place. It said he would not have fellowship with God. And we're going to go over some verses to back that up in the next episode. But that is the true punishment. That is the worst part of hell, is being afar off from our Creator, from who is love, from who is truth, from who is light. Think about that. If you're not near love, if you're not near truth, if you're not near light, how can you bear it? No man can bear it. Understand how good God is and turn to him today. And tune back in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 4. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.